Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this morning. Just let bow our heads for a word of prayer. Praise God. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this great privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence through the new and living way, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank thee for the power of the blood of the Lamb this morning. We thank thee that thy blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Lord, we pray you'll cover us with your blood. We pray you'll wash us in your blood afresh. We pray you'll sanctify us with your blood. We pray, Lord, that you'll move this morning in our midst, that you'll touch lives, hearts, and minds, and bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I rebuke pains, infirmities, diseases in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will come in our midst and will take of thy word and speak to us today. Touch our hearts, Lord. Bless those that's traveling on holiday, away. Pray for John and Carl again. You'll bless them, strengthen them. Use Brother John mightily, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For others, perhaps laying aside sick, touch them and heal them. And speak to them, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For all that's here, Lord, this morning, bless them, strengthen them, and do them good. Now, Lord, help this preacher. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit by faith. And I thank you, undertake for me, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just may be seated. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. Good to see each and every one. God bless you, Father Keith. Good to see you. Praise God. And each and every one that's here this morning. There's John and Carl still away. There's a couple other families away on holidays as well. But praise God. I want to thank everyone, maybe for those that weren't here Wednesday night, for those that prayed for me. In Norway, I had really wonderful meetings. I give God all the glory. And people got saved and people got healed. And the pastor had sent me a message just the other day, and he said there was two sisters, and before they went to church, they took really ill. And they took really sick. So then two sisters got together and they decided, we're not taking sick, we're going to church. And the two of them got together and they prayed and they told the devil. They said, the sickness you're trying to give us up, give it to us, you can have it back, but we're going to church. And God's going to bless us. And the Lord touched them, and the two of them came to church, and the sickness left them. There's another wee girl in the service, and she had something wrong with her stomach. And during the preaching of the word, God healed her. And there were several others. I told them to lay their hand on their own body, and to believe when prayer was made, without coming to the front, God would heal them. And God did heal them. And one woman, she had a shoulder condition for a long time. God completely healed her. Another man had five different things wrong in his body. One of them in his back, one of them in his leg. And God completely healed him as well. There were six or seven young people conceived on the first night. Others came as well on other nights. And you know, it's like anywhere in the world you have different... maybe I felt on Wednesday night somebody took me up wrong when I said about splitters and quitters. And what I meant by that was, you know what it's like the day we have somebody sees something different than the other fella, so he leaves the church and they go away somewhere. And there's a wee three or four here and three or four here and three or four there, and they're everywhere. Well, they all came to the one meeting. And surprise, surprise, God blessed them. Because the Bible says, for two or three are gathered in my name. And the same Bible says, where there's unity, not the split, unity, God will command the blessing. And they all come together, and I'm not going to go into the different things there is, there's so many. But you know what I'm talking about. And it's not God's will that people go off like that. That's the devil. That takes you away from church, away from communion, away from paying your tithes. So many things it takes you away from, which are all part of the Word of God. And we should gather often, the Word of God says, as we see the day approaching, to bring our tithes into the storehouse and prove God. And that's what I believe the Bible teaches. And I believe there's pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets for the perfection of the saints. So if somebody says, well, I'm listening to tapes, he's not under the fivefold ministry then. He's under one man. That's not the Bible. The Bible is to be under the fivefold ministry. For the Word of God, that God can bless you and build you up in your most holy faith. And God can speak to you. And one fellow's gift might finish in a certain area and others will take up. And we shouldn't be critical of the teacher or the pastor or any of the ministries. They're all different. And thank God they are. Wouldn't it be sad if they're all the same? But they've all one focus, Christ.
Yes, amen.
That's their one focus. And one foundation. That must be the same, praise God. But the Lord really blessed the services. And the people were healed and saved. And I told the people, and I believe this, you know, I said healing really, compared to salvation, you can't look at it the same really, if you understand what I mean now. You could be healed and next week be sick again, and you could need healed again. But once you're saved, you are saved for all time and all eternity. Salvation is of the utmost importance. And for any preacher, salvation must be his main thing, his main focus. If it's not, there's something wrong.
Yes.
It must be salvation. And the Bible says, how beautiful are those that preach the gospel,
yes,
of peace and bring glad tidings, which is the good news, the gospel.
Yes.
And I just thank the Lord for the prayers was made. We had three services. And the church would be something maybe like our church, maybe even smaller than normal services, maybe 30 to 40 people. And about 140 or 50 people came. So it was a real wonderful time. And then there's some other ministers now is wanting me to come as well now to Norway. So there's quite a few doors open now in Norway. And you know, the first time I went, it was a bit difficult with an interpreter and everything. And the first few services were difficult. But then in that church, the Lord healed the pastor's daughter of a skin condition. And that was the start of things. And several young men got saved. Then they invited me back again. And the next time, more got saved. And more got healed. And this time it was really above, you know. Well, I was going under expectation. I always do that. I pray and wait on the Lord. And I just thank the Lord. And you know, I had a wonderful privilege. An old woman came to me. I got to travel back with her and the pastor of the church she goes to. 91 years. And she was in William Branham's meetings in 1954. And she came before Brother Branham in the prayer line. And she said Brother Branham told her everything about her. And he said, you've had an operation. But they cut the wrong part out of your body. They made a mistake, what they didn't tell you. But the bit they should have took out still there. And that's the bit what the problem's with. And the bit they took out, nothing was wrong with it. And he told her all that. And he says, don't you worry now, for the Lord's healed you anyhow. And God healed her. And she went down on the platform and he stopped her again. And he says, just a moment. I see that light's following you. And he said, it's not often that happens. That the pillar of fire will follow someone off the platform. It always mostly stays at the platform. But he said, it's followed you. And he says, you remember this. All the days of your life, the Lord will be with you. And you know, as she said that, the Spirit of God came in the car in a powerful way. And I said to her and the pastor, is it just me or can you sense what I can feel? And they said, no, it's something's here. And she said, that's the same thing what was on the platform, what's here right now. And she said, it'll be in the meetings. Now, I know it sounds strange, but that night there was something special about that service. And that wee woman's testimony blessed me so much. And she heard Brother Branham preach sermons that's not even recorded. One about Elijah and Elisha. And he said in that sermon, he said the Spirit, he said Elisha is a type like a woman's name, but Elijah's more of a man's name. And he said Elisha is a type of the bride, but Elijah was more the male. And he said now the double portion came of Elijah on Elisha. And he said now the double portion comes on the bride, not on one man, but on the bride as a whole. And therefore then the bride of Christ can work the same works, because that's the Bible, what Jesus said. And Jesus said, speak those things that are not as though they were. And you remember what Adam lost in the beginning, Christ brought back. And Adam in the beginning was like an amateur God in that he was a son of God. And he could speak to the mountains, he had authority. He could do things, he could speak the word. Everything would obey Adam before he sinned, before he fell. And all that was lost on Adam, the Bible says, is restored back through the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are born again, we receive a part of God, born in the Spirit of God. So we are sons of God. We're not the Son of God, the begotten, but we are sons of God. And that same life's in us. So there's something within us that's powerful. But we have to realize and know that. And that something within us that's powerful is the Spirit of Almighty God. And that Spirit of Almighty God, when you have faith and don't doubt, you can speak things. You can say things, and Jesus said they'll happen. For the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak onto the mountain and tell it to go hence, and it'll go yonder, and it'll have to obey. And he said to speak those things that are not as though they were. And I've discovered when praying for people that's suffering with pain, you need to speak to pain. I've proved this. You need to speak to pain. Pain's an enemy. And you need to tell pain to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell it to go. Whenever the condition is, the situation, pray about it. Pray about everything. We must pray about everything. Praise God. But I'm so blessed. You know what the Lord done? I was humbled and blessed. And I said on a Sunday evening, whatever we can ever count a success in life or in services or in church, no matter what happens, we must give the glory to the Lord. Because it's no man, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, you know, I met a brother, and he was in Ron Peterson's meetings. And he heard Stephen preaching, and he's heard him a good few times now. And he said he's really impressed with young Stephen preaching. And I said, you know, he's from our home fellowship. And I said, he used to work with my brother, and he witnessed to him. And I said, you know, he's quite a testimony. How the Lord delivered him. And how God brought him in. And you can't write it. From a young fella from here, and the background and everything, now preaching in America, and in different churches in America, and the Lord's using them. And I'll tell you, I give God the praise. And people in Norway that's heard of him and been in the services and bringing back a good report. Isn't that something? Isn't that a testimony? Somebody could come and tell you, your boy's out drunk this morning or lying in the street, but then you can take courage. Even where, no matter where they are, God can turn them. And God can make a preacher out of them. And a saint of God out of them. And that's how God works. And how God does things. So the Lord bless you, sister. And Brother Edward, God bless you. You know, it's wonderful how the Lord's working. You know, a young fella what was in the meetings in Uganda, and that's a good few years ago, and he came out, he was 18 years old, and he said, I feel the call to the ministry. And I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he sent me video footage. He says, I'm now a pastor in Ethiopia. This is the first wedding I've conducted as a pastor of this church. And he's preaching the gospel. Isn't that something? When you see that, and we think, well, we're just a few people here. There's nothing to it. But you don't know what God's doing, really. And you know, when I was a young man, I attended meetings in Mother Farnigan Gospel Hall. And there's an old brother preached for 2 weeks and nobody could see him. Then he heard that I could see him. And I was the only one. And he thought his meetings weren't very successful. Then I sent a message to him and I said, you can go and tell him that I've seen thousands of people see him. Thousands of this that I've led to the Lord. And I give God all the praise and all the glory. I was thinking, you know, it makes me cry when I think about it. From the life I lived and the depths of sin I was in, and God lifted me. And you know, I was telling my dad the other day, when I was about 12 years old, and I went to a meeting one night with my Uncle John, and there's a man prophesied over me in that meeting. And he told me everything was happening now. All them years ago, he prophesied. And he said, the Lord's called you, and you'll have a deliverance ministry, and you'll go to many parts of the world and preach the gospel, and God will use you in this land as well. And he told me other things, many other things, and they've come to pass. When I met him a few years back, I put a poster up somewhere when we were having meetings, you know. You remember when you came, Terry, and down at Cloney Orange Hall? And I remember Terry come down that morning with a suit on and came to the Lord and down at Cloney Orange Hall. How many remembers that? Sister Suzanne was in them services. People's got saved, you know, in their meetings over the years. And they're still going on. And you don't really know, you see, the full picture what God has done. Really, none of us do. But we just thank the Lord for it. Yeah. You remember when there's an old hut over here, which away now, I testified over there one night, and a man came to the Lord, and he turned out to be a minister that was in them very services. And I'll tell you, that was just over there. And I testified another night back up here in La Bricklin, in the Covenanter Hall. And I'll tell you, there was a man, the fellow that owned the butcher shop, Hennings. His father signed in that meeting. The old brother Hennings, I guess maybe he's passed on that. But he sang in their meetings and preached. And I gave my testimony, and when he come to the platform, he said, I don't even need to preach. This young fellow, the Lord's helped him tonight. And that's about 27 years ago. And I just thank the Lord for his mercy and grace. Praise God. Do you love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Praise God. I'll tell you, it's great to be saved. Great to be saved. Isn't it wonderful? When a man on the north side of the world can say to you, you're a young fella, and he starts to tell you he's preaching, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That is a good report. And we just thank the Lord for it. You know, I met Ron Peterson quite a long time ago in the early 90s. And Ron Peterson was a total hippie. If you've ever heard of he's quite a testimony. Her right down, he was a hippie, into this, surfing and all. And went back, if you see his, ever see his testimony, and God delivered him. And the church now, I guess it's what, 500 people. And you see, that's what God done with a wee fella. Only a wee fella, surfer. God doesn't worry if you're big or small. God's the one that's big, he says. It's like the old fella used to say, it's not the size of the dog, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And our fight's the Lord. He's our strength. And in our weakness, he's made strong. Praise God. Well, I'll just tell you, like Paisley would have said, that's my introduction. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Let's turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. Or the brother Yule would call it small John. Just remain seated this morning and we prayed. And I want to preach about this great light, which is God. Verse 5, and I won't hold you too long this morning. Verse 5 of the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's all light. Praise God. Before time began, God was complete and all sufficient in his eternal pre-existence. So God was complete before time even began. God was already complete. When God made the earth, when God made everything we see, it did not make God more complete. He always was complete. You see, when we look at ourselves, there's things we could do to make us more complete in many areas of our life. But you cannot look at God like that. Because God is already complete. He's awesome. So all these things didn't make him more complete. But these things show God's exhibition to humanity. What he had done. This is God's exhibition here. When we see the earth, the sun, the moon, and all these things, this is an exhibition of the complete God displayed in the power, in the universe, and all we see it, that's God. He was perfect in himself, perfect in all his attributes, virtues, grace. And when he created the universe by the word of his power, he added nothing to his glory or his majesty. God's glory is no greater since creation than before it. Because you see, you cannot say you can add anything to God because he's God. Now I want you to understand that. You could do things to yourself what you could improve on. All of us could. But you cannot do that with God. Because he can't be improved. He's absolutely perfect at the start. Now, that's one thing you must see. Then when God starts to do things, that is God displaying his majesty, his power, his grace. And when we talk about people being saved, that's the grace of God. That's God's grace that does that, praise God. His great creation only serves as an exhibition of his infinite majesty, power, glory, wisdom and providence. That's all what it's for, to show it forth, praise God. Now when you take note, to glorify God does not mean to add anything to God's glory. When we glorify God, we are not adding to God's glory, we cannot. But God wants us to glory. And God will not give us glory till another. It all belongs to him. God doesn't get... You see, an old preacher told me, and he drew me aside about a year ago. And he's a man I met in England. And he took me aside and he said, I want to tell you something. He says, never ever lift any preacher or any man too high. He says, you'll actually get him in trouble. Because he says, you see, when people lift a man too high, God will remove him. Because God will not give his glory till another. But he wants it for himself. And every true preacher will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And every true servant of God will give the glory to the Lord. Because he knows it's only God can do it. No man can do it. The glory belongs to the Lord. Now let me read you this statement. From a message called Ephesians Parallels Joshua. Let us, before we go any further, go back to Genesis 1:26. I'll pick it up. When God, before he made man, he called him Elohim. The word means in the Hebrew the self-existence. All by himself, nothing existed before him. He was all the existence there ever was, self-existing one. Elohim means the all-sufficient, all-powerful, almighty, self-existing one. That's God. But in Genesis 2, when he made man, he said, I am Yahweh, Jehovah. Now listen to this. What did he mean? I am the all-existent one who has created something of myself to be a son of mine, or a temporary or amateur little one of mine. So we are sons of God. Not the son, but sons of God. So when God made man, he wanted a family. God wanted a family. But in God was that attribute to have that. So God was going to have it. Just like in God, there was an attribute for healing ever before man was on this earth. It was already in God. But one day it had to be expressed. Salvation was an attribute what was already in God. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So one day it had to be expressed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you were in God. Now, you were in his thoughts, in his thinking. Now, I know we can't, I don't mean a soul pre-existent. That's not scripture. But as a thought, you were in God. God had a thought for you. God knew. knew you would be born in a certain date, in a certain day, at a certain time. God knew you. And God made all this provision of salvation and healing through His Son for you. But He knew in the beginning. Let me read this. Listen. One who has created something of myself to be a son or a temporary amateur little one of mine. Oh glory. Why? He gave man. Jehovah means that He gave man to be an amateur God. Now He doesn't mean God, but amateur God, meaning one like Himself. One like Himself. Now, I believe that's a simple thought. Don't stumble at it, because here's why. A calf is a small cow. It's a cow calf. How many knows what I'm saying? A kitten is a small cat. It's of that kind. What kind are you of? The God kind. God's your father, is He not?
Amen.
That's your kind. You're not another kind, you're that kind. And the proof of it is because you're born again. You call Him Father. Abba, Father. So God is your Father, so you're His Son. So your Father's God. So that's the kind you are. Sons of God. You don't become a saint, you are a saint now. You are a saint. Because Paul said it right on to the saints at Ephesus and so forth. You can't say, well, I'm the human kind, but who made the human kind? God did. God made the human kind. Whose image are they in? God's. They're in God's image. God said, let us make man in our own image. So we're made in the image of God. We're of that kind. How many can see that? Now that doesn't mean that if you take all the people that have God in them in that sense, that will never make God. God's still God. I told you the very start, God's absolutely complete and perfect. Nothing can add to Him. But the fact is that you have a part of God in you. God's life is in you. So because God's life's in you, you're that kind. And you see, the devil, he thought he was actually God. He went further than being off the kind. He thought he was God. He says, I'll be like the Most High. I'll sit in the sides of the north. Then you know He came down in the garden. He possessed the serpent. The serpent committed an act of adultery with Eve. Produced Cain. The devil tried to breed a race of people. He failed. God put a division between him. Enmity between the seed. It can never happen again. That's your missing link. But then you see, men die but spirits don't die. Then you come right on up to Hitler. What's Hitler do? Hitler tried to produce a super race again. Hitler tried it. And Brother Branham says Hitler will die a mysterious death, a mysterious end. He was possessed to the devil. He did the very thing that brought a curse on him. Because the Bible says of Abraham, those that bless you and your seed, Abraham, I bless. Those that curse you and your seed, I'll curse. So Hitler brought the curse on himself by touching the Jewish people. God cursed them. He brought it. This word can't be broken. Life and death in the words. He brought it on himself. Predestined for it. Like Pharaoh. Predestined for it. God again. Knowing. What's what? We can't tell, but God can. God can tell who's who. And you see, there's a gene in you. There's something that God has placed within you that you don't know, but it's within you. And there's always, from your small, there could be something within you, but in a way it draws to God. And one day, that'll germatize. You'll come to birth and you'll be born again. The gospel's what does it. You respond to it, but when you hear the gospel. But God had already something within you. Right from the beginning. Now, God made man to be the predominant over all the earth. He had dominion. And the earth was man's dominion. Is that scripture? And then if that's His dominion, He was God over the earth. He could speak and it would be so. He could speak this and it would be so. Oh, there He is. God Jehovah, the one who once existed in self-existence now sits with His family and His little ones with Him. There you are. It would have to obey Him.
Now I want you to get this picture, and I'm going to go slow here. And I don't care if I finish note running, I'm not interested. I want you to get this, really get this. We can never fully comprehend that statement till you take it to the scripture. I want you to understand that's what I'm trying to get here. But you can fully see what Adam had, he lost. Now we can look in Genesis and we might see everything. You could say, well, it's exaggerated or it's overlooked at. But Adam did have power over creation. Would you agree with that? Before he sinned, he had absolute power over creation. He called the cow a cow and the dog a dog. God gave him that ability and power to do it. God said, you'll name the animals. Is that right? Adam had that power, but he lost it. Then we see God himself condescending. We see God himself coming down into the man, Christ Jesus. We see that God left the glory and splendor of heaven and above. God prepares the Virgin Mary, and God condescended down into a little German. You know, and I don't need to go into the details. Placed it within her, and that holy thing that was born of her, the child Jesus, little Jehovah laying in a manger. God manifested in flesh. Then now we see this picture. What I've quoted you here, and what Adam had in a greater way. We see a man called Jesus, and when the storms come up, he could stand up on a boat and speak to the winds and speak to the waves, and they'd obey him. We see that picture perfectly. We see a man that takes a boy's lunch and feeds 5,000 in one scripture, 7 in another, with a boy's lunch. Just a wee boy's lunch. Small fish, it says the word. Doesn't even say the big fish, it says small fish. 5,000 he feeds in one place, 7 in another, and he takes up how many loads of baskets? Come on now. We preached about it. 12 for the Jews, 7 for the Gentiles. The numbers in every scripture. Hallelujah. In the Lord, wonderful. Nothing's a mistake in this book. When somebody tells you I read this and I was confused or mistaken, they need to go back and read again prayerfully. But there we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He can multiply, and they take up 12 baskets of what remain from the boy's lunch. 7 baskets, and remember them 7 are bigger baskets than the 12 are smaller baskets. Never forget that. The 7 can hold a man. Because the Bible says they let a man down through the roof in a basket. That's the size of them 7 baskets. You getting it now? See, it's a great miracle. People, you think it's not a wee basket to go out shopping with that. Oh no. Study, you see, I've studied it. I know what I'm talking about. 7 big baskets. The 12 are smaller. But you see, it's a mighty miracle the Lord done. So all that Adam lost, we are seeing now in full operation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Full display. Amen. Then he comes up to the coffin, and the funeral's gone past, and he touches the coffin. And the dead person's raised from the dead. Yes. He goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and they all complain. I had a song I might have sent it to some people. A lady sang it just recently. She sang the song about Lazarus, and she says, the Lord's too late. If you only had a bit of hear earlier, Lazarus already dead. His body's already rotted. He's in the grave 4 days. But Jesus is always on time. Amen. He's never late. And the Lord steps up to the grave and he weeps. And it says how he loved Lazarus, the compassion of the humanity of a man. But then he says, Lazarus, come forth. Display. All the first Adam lost now on display. And Lazarus steps out of the grave. And he says, he's wrapped in his grave clothes. And he says, loose him and let him go. Dead for 4 days. They said his body had already been stinking. But the Lord raised him. He crosses over the boat to the land of the Gadarenes. And there a man meets him, a maniac. Possessed with devils. Nobody could control him. The tide of a change. He broke them asunder. No one could pass that way. He would cut himself with stones. He was insane. But when Jesus met him, the demons and that man recognized the Christ, the Anointed One. And they fell down before him. And they said, "We know thee who thou art, thy Holy One of Israel." That's the Lord Jehovah Jireh, the mighty God, the self-existing one. They knew he was in this man, Jesus. And they said, "Art thou come to torment us before time?" And Jesus suffered them to come out of him and go into the swine. The pig trade finished. The pigs run into the water and were drowned. That's the Bible. Amen. Now what about when he walks on the water? And the disciples saw him. And they feared for their lives. They thought it was a ghost. Now I've heard people saying Jesus couldn't do things till a certain stage in his life after the resurrection. Well, here he's walking on the water here. This is long before the cross. Oh, you get that? Right. The Lord can do anything anytime he wants. Even now. I see him yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. And the disciple says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." And he bids him to come, and he walks out of the water to the Lord. Now I showed you that Jesus, what he done, but here's a man born a sinner walking in water now.
Yes, sir.
When did you get this? Because all that was in Adam was restored through Christ. And there's a level God can bring us to if we believe God. Now I know he fell. I know he went below the water. Did you think Jesus pulled him out of the water and put him on his back and walked him back? I don't believe it. The Lord reached down and lifted him up and saved him. But I believe he walked back with the Lord to the boat. I don't believe Jesus carried him back. I believe he took him by the hand and he walked back with him. Like you would take a wee boy across the road. I believe that's the way the Lord led him back to the boat. Come on, son. Just like that. That's our God. And you think about how great our God is. You can look at all the miracles of Jesus. And then God said in the 20th century, according to Malachi 4, 5 and 6, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes." So before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, Elijah the prophet's coming with a ministry to the Gentiles that will have a full restoration. Now remember, this man's born a sinner like you and me. A sinner. William Branham, how many believes he's born a sinner? Now I know some people don't believe that, but they're hoodwinked. He was born a sinner, he said he was. Even when everything's happening, he says, "I'm a sinner, Lord, wash me in your blood," and he prays it all the time. But look what that man saw. Stumbled into a wild bull. He said, "I forgot the sign. It gored a man to death." And he told the bull, "Go over there and lie down." It did it. What about the wee boy he found dead on the roadside, written on the back flyleaf of his Bible 2 years before it happened? And he says to Brother Moores, "That's the scene. Read it from your Bible." He said, "This is the scene." And he says, "I knelt down and asked our Lord Jesus to confirm what he showed me." And he did it. God, through a man that was born a sinner, all that Adam lost restored. Not just when we look at Jesus, but Jesus said, if we have faith, if we believe. Now, don't let it take you too far, because listen to me. The rapture, the catching up, you're going to have to believe for that, aren't you? Then we're going to have to believe for everything else while we're here. And God did these mighty things because God brought a full restoration. All that Adam lost, restored back. And people say, why did God do it again? Because God did do it again in our day. We saw God's power again in a mighty way. Will everyone agree with that?
Yes.
Certainly we did. We can't deny it. We never saw it nowhere else. It's absolutely unique. But we know Jesus said it. And we know Jesus did it again. Still the Lord had done it. But God did it because people forget. But God wanted to remind us, because he loved us, that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, God would send Elijah with a message that would turn our hearts back. So when we say we're not for the message, we have to be careful what we're saying. We're not for the message that some men make a denomination of, but the message God sent, we're all for it. It's the gospel, it's the true Bible message. Do you understand what I'm saying? And God sent a voice in our day.
Amen.
And the voice never said, look at me. The voice never said, look what I can do. It never said that. That voice said, look at the one I point you to, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now it's not wrong to quote what that voice says. It's not wrong to quote, because we quote what Paul said, don't we? We quote other things. So it's not wrong. Don't ever get to a stage where you think, well, I don't want to hear that man's name mentioned. That's something wrong then if you think that. There's something wrong there. Because I will mention great men of God, for the Bible tells me to. The Bible tells me I'm to remind my children of the thing the Lord's done. I can't do it without mentioning the great men of God. I cannot do it without it. And then when I see the seven church ages, God built up the total pyramid through seven church ages. Paul the Apostle, Irenaeus, Martin Luther, Columbian, and so forth, right till our day, William Murray and Branham. But that was all bringing us to that perfect love in Christ Jesus for the catching up. But God did it in our day again, so that we'd be reminded what God can do. This should encourage us to know what God can do today. That He's still the same, that He's never changed, that we've been pointed back to the original gospel. The message turns our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. What the first church had. Praise God. Now, it's just gone five past, and I won't get all set, because now I want to go to three avenues of this light. Three things I want to talk about it. Maybe I'll just mention the first one this morning. And the very first thing we see, if you turn to Psalms 19. Psalms 19. And verse 1 to 3. And I want to talk about the true nature, the very first way we can see this great light, God. Verse 1 to 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Nature shows God. This pulpit shows God. You say, the pulpit shows God. Where did it come from? There was wood somewhere, but God put the tree there.
No.
Then a man got it and made this pulpit. So when I look at this pulpit, I think, well, it's well made. The Lord blessed the brother that made it. And it's powerful, well done. And then before that man touched it, he got it in a form he could work with. Before that, it was a tree. God made it. Then I think of this, and I think of it often. When I rise in the morning, I will look unto the hills. When whence cometh my help cometh ultimately from the Lord. I'm saying ultimately because I believe that. But my help cometh from the Lord. And my strength cometh from the Lord. And now when we look to nature, we see God. We see that the flowers come up and they bloom. Then they die, they wither away, go back down. The next year they come up again. Life, death, resurrection. We are born. I look at my young fella now. You know, any of my boys, you know, if I look at the oldest fella, for an example, now he's reaching almost the age where he'll stop growing. You need to stop quick. I'm starting to look up at him, Keith. He's getting, you know, lanky legs, I call him. I never thought he'd be half the size he is. But what I'm saying is, you see, when you're young, you eat the food and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing and you're growing stronger. And you look at your young father and you say, look the size he's getting or she's getting. And look how tall they are. But then there's a certain time comes that stops. That young person will stop growing. They won't grow anymore. They'll stop. And that's it. And then when you get a bit older, you start shrinking. You get to the place where you go back, really, you have to watch the waistline, which you never had to watch before. That boy of mine can eat what he wants. He's like a skinny as anything. I used to be the same. I know you wouldn't believe it, but I did.
I used to be so thin. You know, a fellow showed me a photograph one day and he said, "That was you." And I said, "You're joking me." It was like something like out of one of them camps that they were starved. I was so thin. Then to think I reached 21 stone.
That's how heavy I was in 2010. Got the razor blade out after that. Cut some off. I'm joking, but seriously, the body's dying.
There's nothing you can do about it. We're in a pest house.
So we're waiting for the redemption of the body to which we are redeemed. But we're waiting for this body to be changed. That suffering is still to happen. Now God's working in us because the Bible says we're changed from glory to glory. But we're waiting on the redemption of the body to wit. What that means is, you know and I know we need a body change to get out of here. And that's the ultimate thing. To get a body change to get out of here.
Turn to me, Corinthians. And I feel led just to read it and go away from this, but maybe slightly, but 1 Corinthians. And or is it 2 Corinthians? Chapter 15 anyhow. How many know the verse I'm talking about? It's Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read down here. Verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." This is when the Lord comes now. "So when Jesus literally comes..." Now we can say with Saul's appearing, a super sign, the coming of the spirit of Elijah, all them things are true, but it's not the coming of the Lord. And we need to understand that. You could call it an appearing, I'll agree with you, but I won't agree with the second coming. No. We're waiting on the second coming. So this is when the second coming actually takes place. We meet the Lord in the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And we're changed. And you know the graves will open. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet him in the air, we will change, right? Back to verse 52. "In a moment..." Now let's get back. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall be changed. In a moment..." Now if a fellow says to you, "You're gradually changing," where's the scripture? You're in a pest house now. The thing that's of God in you is within you. Now you need to call on that for healing, all that, we believe that, but our body's still there. You can do what you want with it, exercise it, polish it, paint it, all them things are good. I'm not against them, I'm all for them. Look good, smell good, but yet we're dying. It's not right, but we're going to be changed. This is the hope we have of the real gospel. We're going to be changed. And all that we could strive to be, what we never could be, the Lord's already provided it for us. We're going to be changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Praise God. "And we shall be changed." Verse 53. "For this corruptible..." That's what he's saying. "Must put on incorruption." Isn't that wonderful? "This corruption must put on incorruption." So we're getting changed. Changed. Imagine you're working out in your old clothes and you come in and you change yourself into nice clean clothes. And God's going to change us. Our bodies. Like dressing. And that... But it's not close, you know what I mean. Praise God. "And this mortal must put on immortality." So we are mortals, but we're going to put on immortality. There's why you're part of God now. This is back to the start. This just brings you right back to the start. That the part of God's in you. That's the thing that's bringing you about immortality. Amen. The physical part's not. It's corruption. Sown in corruption. We came sown in corruption. How many knows that? But then we were born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. Not incorruptible seed is the Spirit of Almighty God. These bodies are going to be changed. So all this here, what we have, no matter what we do with it, it's going to fall. And we're going to have a new body. God's going to change us. So when this corruptible, verse 54, and when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptible, incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. So when this happens to you and happens to me, death is absolutely, ultimately defeated in our bodies. As well as our souls already happened, but in our bodies. Absolutely done. Now we potentially have it right now. You know that. But it's physically going to happen. Because the Word of God says it. O death, where is thy sting? Verse 55. O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All because of the Lord. And the strength of sin, the law, and what did Jesus do? Fulfilled it. He fulfilled the law. And we're complete in Him. Aren't you glad the Lord's going to change you? Now I believe, do your best while you're here. I believe that. But even no matter what we do with these bodies, God's going to change them. You think of that. You read the little message where Brother Branham had a preview. Beyond the curtain of time, it's called. And he saw beyond, and he said, you'll be like a young man and a young woman. 21 years old. You think of it. So when you look at some young fella, it's great, you know, them young ones have the youth and everything. You know, and I'll tell you, you get older and you think, oh, I could still do it. Could you? Could you still do things? You can't do it. Kid yourself. You ever, see, if you ever, somebody wrote down what they did when they're 21, and you try it when you're 50, unless you're extremely an exceptional person, and you have trained, continually kept training, see, if you let up on the training for a month, you're going back. I know what I'm talking about. Certain things I could lift in 2010, and I was able to lift them, and I knew what they were. And about just over a year ago, I said, I'll try and do it again. Now, that was only 6 years later. It took me a year to try to get to that again, and I could hardly do it. And I'm only 48. You see, because you're in a pest house. Now I know there's exceptions to the rule. I know all that. And then I know there's drugs. I know all about that as well. But I'm talking about naturally doing things. You can't do it. Because we're living in a house that's decaying away. We think we can do it. Do you ever get a young fella and they put their two hands out? The Bible to bring a young person up here. Not only 48, imagine that. You know, they can put their hands out. It's not a movement. Not a movement. Now, I know maybe some of you fellas be there, but you'd be surprised if I told you to put your hands and don't move. I can't do it. My right hand will naturally move a bit. But when you're a young fella, that doesn't happen. See, you're in a body that's decaying. That's why we need the resurrection. That's why we are depending upon the Lord. And ultimately upon the Lord. And we thank God for all the things we do have. But our ultimate is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's come and bow our head this morning. Praise God. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you would say, Brother, will you remember me in prayer? Just lift your hand to the Lord while every head's bowed, every eye closed. God bless you, son. God bless you, God bless you. Praise God. And listen to me this morning. God bless you, son. If you have something that you're still suffering with, put your hand on it. Believe God. If God can do it in Norway, God can do it here. God is still the same. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the ultimate of all ultimates, the supreme God, the almighty God. For there's none like the Lord. Thou art above the heavens and the earth. Who can be compared to the Lord of hosts? The Lord mighty in battle. Oh, how we worship you. How we praise you. For we know that you are the true light that lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Lord, we thank you that there's no darkness in you at all, but you are light. And Father, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're unchanging. Lord, nothing can be added or taken from you. You are the completeness of all completeness. The all-sufficient, mighty God. How we look to you this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, you see the hands raised. You see the hands laid upon the people where they have a condition. Father, by your stripes we are healed. I ask for the manifestation of the healing upon every person where their hands laid, that they be healed. I curse sickness and disease. I command pain to go. I say to pain, go out of the bodies and return no more. In the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Father, I speak health to the navel. I speak strength to the bones. And blessing to the physical being. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the hands raised. You know, people praying with things that could affect their whole future. Lord, I ask you'll answer them. I pray you'll speak to them. I pray you'll guide them. I pray you'll lead them. I come against every thing sent of the devil to distract that young person. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rebuke it. I ask for the Holy Spirit now to go to work. And to work in the situation. And to move in the situation. And to bring it in line with the Word of God. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless every man. Bless every woman. Bless every boy and every girl in this room. We thank thee for all the children. Lord, and for each and every one, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Now, Father, bless each one, I pray. Bless your musicians. And the song leaders, they come as we look to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. Praise God. Maybe we'll go a bit further tonight. The Lord bless you.
That's all the things. Why are we saying that?